Home run or what? Is that not powerful? That's, you know, everything he just talked about, I saw in my head as Mark was telling me about this filter and how that the work. It is really like taking a ball bat and tossing up a beach ball and hitting a beach ball with a bat. That's how this is just a home run opportunity. I was just sitting thinking there were many mission trips that we went on in Honduras and Costa Rica and Tajikistan in particular, even in Jamaica. All of those, we could have used this filter. And the impact that we could have had by using the filter as an end. Kind of what I talked about this morning, you know, the Lord tells us to meet the need, to meet the physical need and to meet the spiritual need, not just to do one or the other. Too often folks will go in and they'll dig wells in a community, you know, and there's clean water. That's fantastic. They got clean water for today and it'll help them in their life here, but they never present the gospel. Oh, well, they'll just see it. They'll figure out. They know we're a Christian organization. We're not told to go out and just model it. We're told to present it. We are to model it, but we're to present it. How many of you just, off what you've just seen right now, go, I'm ready to go on a trip? Any of you ready? A few? All right, I see some hands. We're going to have a sign-up sheet for later tonight, because the next step for us as a church is now to put a date on the calendar and for us to pick a location and to take a trip. $800, I think, is the cost of doing the trip. $800 for in-country. Then there's $200 because we buy, each person that goes, we buy five filters, $40 a piece. That's $200. There's $50 for an excursion. So every trip you go on, you do some type of an excursion that's a local thing. You might be zip lining or going to see a volcano like we would do in Costa Rica, different things like that. And then it's that, so it's $1,050 plus whatever it costs to fly to wherever we're going. If we're going to Cuba, if we're going to Honduras, from Florida, it's cheaper than a lot of other places in the world. So if you're interested, at the end of the night, I want you to put your name on that sheet there, because we would have to have at least 15 people that are willing to go to put together a trip. And we might could combine with some others, but that's how many we need. So I just want to share something. I'm not going to take a long time tonight. I want to follow this up and really ask the question, are you ready to go on a mission trip? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are we as a church ready to get that the next step and do that as a church? Acts chapter 6, verse 5. I want to tell you about a guy in here. I just want to walk through a few scriptures and kind of and lead into this. But Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." This was when they were choosing the seven. There was a need in the church. The widows weren't being cared for the way they needed to be. So the apostles said, "Church, you've got to select seven men," and they've got to qualify. And once they've picked those, then they were put forth. Well, one of those men, we'll see here, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip. And we're going to talk about Philip in there. So he's one of the seven. He was what some would say he was a deacon. He was one of the first deacons. And I've shared my thought on that. But regardless, he's not an elder in the church. He's not a pastor in the church. He's not one of the apostles. He's just a lay person. He's just a servant. And he's obviously loves the Lord and is involved because the church selected him to be a part to oversee this part of this ministry. Well, if we jump over to Acts chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." All right, so we know that this is where the persecution comes, and the church is dispersed. They're kind of fleeing away, and what are they doing? They're taking the gospel to the places they go. Right, they're taking the gospel. As I was studying this and reading through this, it was amazing to me. I thought, isn't this amazing that God was using Paul even before he was saved to get the gospel out there, using Paul to persecute the church and get them broke up and get them out of there so they wouldn't just congregate in Jerusalem. They'd go everywhere. It's amazing how God did that. And we see God using lost men all through the scriptures to fulfill his purpose. Verse 5 then says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So Philip, whether he's responding to the persecution, it sounds like that's kind of the case. Hey, it's gotten hot here in Jerusalem. I'm getting out of town for a little bit. But he goes down to Samaria. No, we don't read of anybody else going down to Samaria. In fact, we know, as we just talked about tonight with the Samaritan, the woman at the well there in Samaria, that the Jews, we know the history there, they didn't like the Samaritans. There was animosity there. There was racism there. There was a blended Jewish religion. They had intermingled it with some different things. And so the Jews didn't like them. They didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. But what does Philip do? Philip says these people need the gospel. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Folks, when the gospel goes into any area, there's going to be great joy that comes with that. There may be persecution, but there's going to be great joy when people's lives are changed and their souls are saved. We jump down to verse 12 there. It says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed. They believed the testimony of Christ given by Philip. He goes down and he evangelizes just down the road. That's their neighbors. It's a group they didn't like. Not everybody was going to go. Philip went. He went. I kind of believe that the Holy Spirit prompted Philip. Hey, you need to get up and go. We drop down to verse 26. This is a great chapter, Acts 8 there. But we drop down to 26 now, and it says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So what did Philip do? I love this. So he arose and went. God said, get up and go. Philip got up and went. Philip didn't have lunch with some buddies to discuss the situation. He didn't go talk to 20 people and try to get either confirmation or someone to say, hey, man, that's crazy. You know what? Oh, good. I thought it was crazy, too, so I didn't know. He wasn't looking for an excuse to get out of it. He didn't have any discussion. God told him to do it. I think back to Abraham when God told Abraham, take Isaac and go to where I'm going to show you, and you're going to offer him as an offering to me. You're going to sacrifice him. And when he told Abraham to get up and go, Abraham got up and went. Folks, that's what we've got to do. When God tells us to get up and go, we got to get up and go. All right, if he tells us to go, we should go. And you know what the fact is? He's already told us to go. And we know the rest of the story there because Philip had no idea what was in store. God said go. He just goes. He doesn't know what he's going to come into. These trips, they never know what they're going to run into. They know they're going to go into homes, but they don't know what the conversation is going to be. They don't know what the situation is going to be. They don't know what the people have been through. Every story is going to be different. Every place they go is going to be different. Every situation is going to be different. They don't know what they're coming into. Philip just says, Lord said, go, I'm going to go. So as he's going, he's running down the road there, and he comes up upon the chariot, and he hears, overhears, and the guy in the chariot, this Ethiopian eunuch, is reading the scriptures, and he starts having a conversation, starts with building a relationship. He just asks a question. And then he gets invited up into the chariot, and he gets up in the chariot, and he takes the scriptures that this Ethiopian eunuch, who is not a believer, but he's searching, he's reading the scriptures, and Philip just takes the scriptures and preaches Jesus. And this Ethiopian eunuch then comes to faith. And what would he sees water. Now remember, he's just in Jerusalem. They're baptizing. The Lord is moving and people are getting saved and people are getting baptized. And he saw that. And I think in his mind, he probably said, well, that's how I come to this. That's how I come to this. Jesus is getting baptized. And so he asked Philip, he says, what must I do? You know, what prohibits me from being baptized? What prohibits that? Philip says, if you believe. If your faith is in Jesus, he said, I believe. And so they got out. He trusted Christ. His salvation was by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go down, he baptizes him, and then Philip is like teleported out of there. He's gone. Now, I'm not telling you if you go on a mission trip that you're going to lead somebody to the Lord and you're going to get teleported out. I'm not promising that, all right? But there are some things you're going to experience. Now, here's what I would say. I really, as I was reading this, I would classify those two trips that Philip took as short-term mission trips. They're witnessing in Jerusalem, but both of those were little short-term trips. God said, go down here. We don't know how long he was in Samaria. He may have been there 2 days. He may have been there 2 weeks, but it was a short-term trip. And then he came back, and he was in Jerusalem, and God speaks to him again. It says, go down the road to Gaza. It was two short-term mission trips. They were evangelistic trips. So here's what I wanted I was thinking about this as I was thinking about what to do tonight. I had a whole nother message, and I went a whole different direction. I thought, coming behind this, here's what I want to do. And Dan, when I finish talking about this, if you've got some thoughts on this, I want to hear them, okay? And if there's anybody here that's been on mission trips, then I want if you can think of something to add to this, then I want your input in this, okay? I want you to share that. But here's what I want to give you some information, things that just came to my mind, kind of popcorn style, of why go on a mission trip, okay? So here's some of the reasons. We can help those we go to help do more than they could do alone. So when we take a team down, you're partnering with a church. They may have, it may be a smaller church, smaller congregation. They can't necessarily afford to buy those filters to go. But we go, we've now made them a stronger group. We're partnering with them, we're helping them, and we allow them to do more than they could do alone. That's always the case. Two are better than one, right? Many hands make light work. So we go, and so you can help them do more than they could do alone. We make an impact in the community that we go to serve. When you go and serve a community like that, you're going to make an impact. But here's the other thing that it does. You win favor in the community for that church or those missionaries that are right there on the field. When we did trips, we weren't out there to promote us because, man, we're going to be a week or two or three, and then we're going to be gone. But the missionary that's there, they're going to be there all the time. So we were trying to win favor for that missionary so that they could, so that, you know, people would respond to them and they would see them and would want to hear what they have to say. We help gain favor for them. I just said that. We just gain favor for the missionary, help gain favor for the missionary, the ministry in the field, and opening doors for the gospel. That's the purpose of that. Now, those are things for those on the field. And we think this way. You know, we're going, and here's a great benefit. There are people, one in three. I don't know, if you go knock on doors in Geneva, you may not get one in three doors opened to even talk to them. But you go there, and one in three that you talk to come to faith. That's the percentage. That blows my mind. 33%. What an investment. What a return on investment. To go and win one soul would be incredible, but one out of every three that you talk to come to faith is incredible. So we think about, you know, the things that we go and how we're going to bless them, but I'm going to tell you who's going to get blessed when you go on a trip more than they get blessed. And there's no greater blessing, right, than coming to faith in Christ. That's incredible. That's what we get to see as people come to faith in Christ. But you're going to get blessed more than they do. It gets you, here's some things that going on a mission trip does. Gets you out of your comfort zone and totally dependent on God. Man, some of you have never traveled out of the country. Some of you right now don't even have a passport. So you go through that process. You buy tickets to go out of the country. You get on a plane to fly out of the country. You land somewhere, and as you get off the plane, you go, oh, we're not in Kansas anymore. I mean, instantly you go, all right. And so it gets you out of your comfort zone and really gets you into a place of dependence on God. God will use you in ways you never dreamed possible. Some of you would sit here and go, man, I can't share the gospel. I couldn't do that. We saw how simple it is to share the gospel by simply using this filter as an illustration of what Christ does to us and to simply transition from that to sharing the gospel. It is a home run. Anybody in this room could do that. So God will use you in ways you've never dreamed possible. You'll grow in your faith. You'll absolutely grow in your faith. You go on a trip, you'll grow in your faith, and you'll learn to confidently share your faith. You'll see the world and the lost people of the world like you've never seen them before. We're very isolated here. I think in a lot of ways, we're very elitist in America. We have this, we're just better than everybody. There's a lot of that in America. But we're very prosperous and we're very proud. And man, I'm American. I'm American. We're just better than the rest of the world. It's what we think. And y'all are mad at me because I'm saying that. But it's true. That's the way Americans think as a whole. We get out in the field and you meet people and you realize, man, these people are just like we are. They just don't have the blessings that we have. So many of them have had no opportunity like the opportunities that we have. Folks, we ought to go home tonight and just get on our knees and praise God again that we've been blessed in this great country. It's a blessing to be here. But it's not just for us to be blessed, it's for us to be a blessing. With less distractions from your cell phones, and I don't know how y'all do that. You know, today you can have a plan and go off and use your cell phone, I guess, in some of these other countries. You might just have to tell them, turn them off, leave them somewhere. But when we used to do trips, you didn't have any communication. We had to have a satellite phone the first trips I went on to Central Asia. If we wanted to communicate back, we had a satellite phone, and it was expensive. So we didn't have long conversations, did we? With less distractions from cell phones and social media and things like that, you may hear from God like you've never heard from Him before. It really, folks, we can't hear the still small voice because we've got so much racket in our lives. The radio, the TV, that we're on the phone, we got videos playing. We're so busy with all that entertainment, we can't hear the voice of God. And you get off in a place like that in another country doing those things, and you can hear from God like you've never heard from Him before. Here's another great thing. The enthusiasm that you come back with is contagious and infectious, and it'll permeate the whole congregation. I believe this with all my heart. I've seen it. If 10 people out of our church went on a mission trip, and they go down there and they work with this filter, and they see if they saw one person come to faith or they had a part in that, they're going to come back so excited. The story they're sharing of how God used them, of how God worked. You won't believe what we saw. God did this, and He opened the door there. And this person, they were real hard when we got there, and God just changed their heart, and they got saved before we left. The stories that you come back with, it'll be like an inferno as it passes through our church. And it just reinforces the mission DNA in getting that into every part of our DNA. You'll be more blessed by far than those that you are going intending to bless. We're going to be a great blessing. That's what we do. That's who we are. We're going to go bless these people. And inevitably, you come back going, I just didn't think it was possible. But these people I was going to minister to, they ministered to me. My heart's just overflowing after what I experienced. You'll experience a lifetime of memories in 1 week. First time I went to Central Asia, I was there 3 weeks. 3 weeks I was there. And 21 days or 23 days. I think it was 23 days. That was in 2004. 2004. 3 weeks. Can anybody tell me what you did in 2004 for any 3-week period in 2004? Okay, well, thanks a lot. That was the year, huh? Well, let's go to 2005 then, smarties. Yeah, y'all shut me up, didn't you? Outside of the hurricane, can you tell me anything in any three-week period other than the hurricane that, like, of a period in your life, can you remember what you're doing on your job or conversations that you had? Well, let me tell you, 3 weeks in Tajikistan, and I can sit down today and I can map you out almost day to day what we did. I can remember conversations that I had with folks there in Tajikistan. It is seared in my mind. It's things I'll never forget. A lifetime of memories in a week. You'll truly be a part of something bigger than yourself. You may very well see the power of God like you've never seen it before. You'll see God do things. Here's the deal. We go to these places a lot of times, countries I've been in, and I've had people, believers in those countries, said, you know, we see miracles all the time. We see miracles. God's working miracles all the time. Y'all don't see that in America a lot, do you? No. He said, you know why? He said, because we're absolutely dependent on God. If he doesn't do it, it ain't going to happen. See, we're so prosperous, we can do it ourselves. We can pay for ourselves. We can make it happen ourselves. And they go, if God doesn't do it, it ain't going to happen. And they see miracles. And so you go on those trips and you're going to see the power of God moving things that you just never imagined you could see. Wherever you go, you'll leave a part of yourself there and bring a part of them home with you. And I think y'all know that from just my sharing of my experiences. There's a piece of that country that's in my heart. That country of Tajikistan, I love the people there. I love the people we minister to in Jamaica and in Costa Rica and in Honduras. I love those folks. But there's especially something special about that place. I left a part of myself there. And you're gonna leave a part of yourself wherever you go. You're going to leave a part of yourself there. And you're going to bring back a big chunk of that back with you. God may call you, or he may confirm a call to full-time ministry through a mission trip. You probably see that with these college kids that go on these trips, and God speaks to them, and they answer the call to go into full-time ministry and serve God that way. Now, I've shared this with you before. Someone told me this years ago, said that a trip to Israel is as valuable of a year as a year of seminary. And I've been four times, and I would absolutely say that that's true. To go to Israel for a week, that week-long trip, is absolutely like a year of seminary. It's as valuable to you. You may not get the knowledge of things, but the experience and where you see and what you learn there, it really is. I think in some ways, a week-long mission trip may be just as valuable. It may just have just as strong an impact. So if you go to Israel and you go on a mission trip, you got 2 years of your seminary done. How about that? You'll develop lifelong relationships, some of those you go with and some that you go to minister to. If 15 people out of our church go on a mission trip, those 15 people are going to come back and they're going to be closer than they ever were before they left, and they'll have a special bond for the rest of their life by doing that trip together. And they're going to build relationships. Many times there'll be relationships that they make on the field. It may be a missionary family. It may even be someone they minister to. And that relationship can continue. So you're going to build lifelong relationships for those trips. Mark Penner, that we're going to meet later in the week, who is in Tajikistan now, it's an amazing connection because we spent just a few days together in 2005. And you'll hear more of that story. But we spent just a few days together in 2005. And here we are 17 years later. I think that's about right. 19 years later. And it's amazing that we have a connection still through just a few days of being in the mission field together. If you do not come home less materialistic and more grateful and thankful, it'll be your own fault. Is when you go into the field and you see the way the rest of the world lives, it will change you. It will impact you deeply. And I believe this. I believe you'll become a lifelong ambassador for missions. You'll become an ambassador for that. So, Dan, is there anything you would add to that you see as a benefit, as a result of going on these trips?
City things I wanted to amplify.
Now, I want to ask anybody else that's been on a trip. Kristen, I know you've done a mission trip. Claire, you've been on some trips. Maybe there's something that, if there's anybody here, you've been on a mission trip, and there's something you'd add to that. You'd say, this is what God did for me that you'd want to share tonight. I want you to step up and share that. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, here's what we're going to do. Pastor Aaron, I want you to come on forward. I think you were prepared. Were you prepared? You're prepared. He's prepared either way. He's always prepared. Pastor Aaron is never not prepared. He's awesome. He's gonna lead us. We're going to have a time here in just a moment. Look, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about something tonight. And tonight, again, the altar is open. I share this often. These are not stairs. They look like stairs, and we use them that way. But this is an altar. Maybe tonight you just want to come talk to the Lord. Maybe the Lord's pressed on your heart right now. I need to be involved with that, and you want to come have a conversation with Him. Maybe there's, I don't know what God's doing in your life tonight. But I know there's that God's doing something in somebody's life tonight. And tonight might be a great night to just come to the altar and talk to the Lord about what He's doing in your life, what He's doing in your heart right now, and just surrender that to Him. Lord, if You say go, then I'll go. If You tell me to do something, I want to be obedient and do it, okay? So we're going to take just a moment. Pastor Aaron's going to, they're going to lead us here in a song. I'll ask you to stand, and we're going to have the words here. We'll sing along. But if the Lord leads you or something you want to come pray about, I'll ask you to come down and just pray. Thank you.